From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to stay tuned for a message from God's Word, preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. This week, Dr. Cairns is preaching a message entitled, The Witness of the Spirit. Throughout the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is characterized as a witness. As Dr. Cairns examines this subject, he is explaining four aspects of the Spirit's witness as it relates to Christians. These include his witness to, with, in, and through the believer. Today, he continues to deal with the Holy Spirit's witness with the Christian, that which provides the highest form of assurance to the believer. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, Justified without works or justified by works? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Is there a contradiction between Paul and James when Paul says we're justified by faith without works? And James says we're justified by works? On the surface, it appears that those two statements are in diametrical opposition. One is answering the other. Well, of course, you've got to step back and say, is that the case? James was not answering Paul, and Paul was not answering James. The context is vital to each statement. I think it was J. Gresham Machen, the great Presbyterian preacher of the 1930s, who said that the faith that Paul was commending was not the faith that James was condemning. And the works that Paul was condemning are not the works that James is commending. Now let me explain. Paul was dealing with how a person is saved. How is he justified? Is it by anything that he does? Or is it by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone? Paul says it's this latter way. Justification by faith without works. Nothing we can do adds to our acceptance with God. Christ's merits are our only ground of acceptance with God. James, on the other hand, was dealing with people who glibly made professions of faith, but their so-called faith made no difference to their lifestyle. They were just as ungodly as ever. And he's saying that's not faith at all. In fact, he calls it a dead faith. Now, Paul never argued that people are saved by a dead faith. It was a living faith in a living Christ. James is saying dead faith can't save you. So let me paraphrase then. Paul is saying a living faith is a justifying faith. James is saying a dead faith is not a justifying faith. So there's no contradiction. They're actually saying the same truth, but they're attacking the subject from different angles. As I say, in James' case, he's saying, if you say you're saved, you say you're justified, you say you have faith, how can you show your faith to me? How can I know that you have faith? How can anybody know that you have faith? I tell you I have faith. How can I show you my faith? I can't, unless it is by the evidence that faith always produces, which is good works. So you wrap up the whole doctrine, and this is what the Reformers taught, and is simply echoing Paul and James. We are justified by faith alone. But faith that justifies is never alone. In other words, it always produces something. In the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. The moment a person places his faith in Christ, at that moment he's as justified as he will ever be, now or in eternity. But that moment is not the only moment of his salvation. He continues to grow in grace, and that faith is a living principle which, according to Galatians 5 verse 6, works by love. It is going to be evidenced, as Paul says, we're created unto or for good works. James says, you say you have faith. Well, I'll show you my faith. How? By my works. So remember, Paul is teaching a living faith justifies. James is teaching a dead faith cannot justify. There's no contradiction.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We have been delighted with the response to these programs. Your words of appreciation and your letters and emails have been most encouraging. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. And we're pleased to announce that the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is Darwinism. Two Free Presbyterian ministers deal with the fruit and the fallacies of Charles Darwin's theories. In that connection, there is a report on the wonders of God's handiwork displayed at the Creation Museum, located near Cincinnati, Ohio. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. S.B. Cook. The missionary focus is upon what the Lord is doing in the nation of France. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, is it ever right to have an abortion? What is revival? And do all who die as infants go to heaven? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
There is a spiritual dimension to a man that's saved. There's no doubt about that. The Holy Spirit does abide within him. The Holy Spirit does sanctify him. Now, not all Christians are equally sanctified and equally holy, but all Christians are being sanctified. There is a work of holiness being wrought in the life of every Christian. And undoubtedly, there is again presumptive evidence from a changed life that a man is saved when he comes to Christ and he's made a new creature and he's led by the Spirit and he's given a love for the Bible, and the things that once he loved he now would hold back from, the things that once he despised he finds he embraces them with his whole heart. Bless God, there is there evidence based on the marks of grace in the life. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves and see if ye be in the faith. And when a man can examine his life in the light of the Word of God, and however much there is to lament that he's not all that he wants to be, nonetheless there is evidence that he is in the faith, that man can say, there is a ground of assurance that I'm saved. An assurance based on the written Word. An assurance
based on the evidences of grace. I'm tempted to depart a little there. These are scriptural things. Will you notice that I haven't mentioned, though there is some truth in it, but I haven't mentioned what has become an old chestnut to most preachers now, people doubting their salvation. Have you had any answers to prayer? And if you can dream up an answer to prayer, then you must be saved. Now, obviously, it's good to have answers to prayer, and that may fall into the category of evidences. But let's get the full biblical picture, based on the written word, the evidence of grace in the life. And then here is the highest form, the topmost brick in the building, as it were. The assurance of the joint witness of the Holy Ghost. You know, I think that God's people, saved people, even those who are plagued with doubts, when they're brought to the Word of God, their heart says, yes, this Bible is true. Him that cometh to me, I have come to Christ. I have God's word for it that I am saved. They have that level of assurance. Again, I believe that God's people, however much they lament that they're not what they want to be, they can say, I'm not what I was. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I'm going to be. But I thank God I am not what I once was. There is a change. I think that God's people, again, can trace the finger of God's grace in their lives. But it's this full assurance that so many of God's people are not enjoying. This full assurance, this joint witness of the Spirit of God with their spirit. The scriptures actually speak of full assurance in three ways. Let me just give you the text of scripture, and I trust you'll follow this out at your convenience. Colossians 2 verse 2. Paul is praying for those who hadn't seen his face in the flesh. And he's praying particularly for the church at Colossae and Laodicea. And he's praying for certain things to happen to them. This is something that they didn't have. He's praying, verse 2, that their hearts may be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches. Now here's the phrase, of the full assurance of understanding. If you ask me why so many Christians in Greenville are not enjoying full assurance, I think it starts here. They're not instructed as Paul wanted these people to be instructed in the full assurance of understanding. Now here we come to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, taking these doctrines of Christ, the revelation of the person and the work of Christ, and convincing the mind. I think that sometimes there is such a fear of rationalism in our fundamental churches, and I detest rationalism with a holy hatred. But I think there's such a fear of rationalism in our fundamentalist churches that sometimes there is even a fear of rationality, and there's a world of difference. A gospel that does not feed the mind is no gospel. A theology that does not meet the full requirements of the sanctified mind is no theology at all. And the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and He leads the people of God, feeding their minds, convincing them by a logic that is greater than the logic that any preacher can give, by a logic that is heavenly in its origin and in its procedures, convincing them of the truth of the gospel. Only God can do that. Full assurance of understanding. It has been my experience in this church over these last 7 years that more people, genuinely see of people, have been helped by getting their thinking straight on what in theology we call the great objective truths of the gospel, getting their thinking straight on the doctrine of the atonement and what it really accomplished, the doctrine of justification, the doctrine of acceptance with God in Christ. When people get their thinking straight, when the Holy Ghost gives them a full assurance of understanding, my, then everything else falls into place. There's the full assurance of understanding. Turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, and verse 11. And there you'll find that there is a full assurance of hope. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. I want you to notice something. This assurance is not something that just materializes magically. Even if you received this full assurance of hope the very minute you were saved, as very often happens, Paul is saying, show diligence. Be diligent in the use of the means of grace. Be diligent in your fellowship with God. Be diligent in your prayer life. Make very sure that nothing comes between you and your God. Because the full assurance of hope, he links to diligence. What a joy it is when a believer has the absolute confidence. The word hope in Scripture has nothing to do with vagueness or uncertainty. It has to do with confidence. It has to do with a confident waiting for that which is yet unseen, but nonetheless is certain. What a joy it is when a believer has absolute confidence that all that is promised is his. His future is absolutely secure in the hand of the Savior. It's the full assurance of hope. And then chapter 10, verse 22, there is the full assurance of faith. And you'll notice how closely that is linked with prayer. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance. Faith. Notice how these things are conjoined. We're drawing near to God. Here's the diligence. It's a true heart. Hypocrites have no right to say they have full assurance. The hope of the hypocrite will perish. Assurance of understanding, of hope, of faith. This faith which is the gift of God. Colossians 2, this faith which is the operation of God in the heart. This faith is witnessed by the Holy Ghost. This is the highest form of assurance. When the Spirit of God conjointly witnesses with our spirit. I come to the Word, and because God has regenerated me, my heart witnesses to the truth of that Word. My heart accepts what that Word says, and when that Bible says, I am saved, my spirit sets to its seal that God is true. That is one level of witness. Thank God for it. Let us never move from Scripture. Because of that regenerating act of the Holy Spirit, there has been a change in this life. I take no credit for it, but I thank God for it and for every evidence of grace. every desire to glorify Christ, every yearning for the will of God, every longing for prayer, every submission of the heart to Him is an evidence of His grace, and I thank God for it. What a joy it is to have such assurance. But crowning it all, when the Holy Spirit Himself comes, and He does what the psalmist asked Him to do in the 35th Psalm, I believe the second verse, "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation." When the Spirit Himself comes and He speaks, that is full assurance. May God give to every believer the full assurance of understanding, of hope, and of faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.